So this morning we had an opportunity to talk about the definition of motivation, the origin word of motive, and distinguishing that from motivation, and how important both of them are. God is concerned with both our intent and our drive, meaning that which drives us, our motivation. So, and again, the inspiration for this came from post-COVID and a lot of folks having challenges with being motivated. What that looks like just for their everyday and doing work. It's even showing up in different ways. Some people are experiencing depression for a lack of motivation, just to live and go about their day. So I thought it would be an interesting topic to unpack, and boy, I learned a lot during our Bible class this morning, and the additional notes that I got from sharing these thoughts with you. So tonight, what I'd like to do is continue that discussion from motive and motivation, where we outlined what God's will is for our intent and for our drive, and then ask ourselves the question, where are we with our motivations? Where are we with our motives and the things that we do, the plans that we make, the goals that we set for ourselves? And is that properly aligned with what God's will is? So if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 15. In order to unpack this portion of our lesson, we need to examine what does God value? Now, admittedly, this is it's only going to be a snippet. It's not going to be. We could be here for a very long time teaching a lesson about what God values. But part of what I was able to pull out here in this for these items were uniquely tied to our motivations. So Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 and it reads, saying, if you will, let's see here, Exodus 15, 26, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. We understand that God values justice and doing what is right. And the caveat on what is right we can see in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. And it's something we need to be reminded of in our everyday walk. Proverbs chapter 21, 2. And I think I did read this morning, but it begs repeating. It says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Again, tying it to motive or intent. God loves truth. He loves justice and doing what is right. And by right, we mean what is right in his eyes, not what's right in our own hearts. We have to make sure and align our intent, our heart, and our motives around what God's will is. God values obedience. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 11. And let's take a look at verses 38. I think it's just verse 38. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 38. And if you will listen to all that I command you and will walk in my ways and do what is right in my eyes by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, I will be with you and will build you a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel to you." Here we can read an example of knowing what God's will is, what God values. God values obedience. And it's even outlined here, and I think it's interesting the progression of what that looks like. This scripture outlines obedience by listening, by walking and observing. So it's listening, walking, looking, embracing, you know, and doing his statutes and commandments. It's very active, this obedience. God values humility. James chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. But he gives more grace, therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God values humility. Dependence, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15, if we'll just jump down there a little bit from where we are. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. How many of you heard that expression? Lord willing. You heard that? Lord willing, all the time. My mom said it all the time. Yes, take care. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. It's to give respect to the fact that God controls everything that we do. God is in control of everything. And it's an important mindset, and especially here as we're looking at this particular verse, especially in planning and investing. Why do you imagine that that's articulated here in just this way? This wasn't just, I don't know, a vacation, if you will. This scripture says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. This is working. And so the Bible is intentional. That much we can accept. The Bible says what it says for us to learn from what it's teaching us. Right here, it's important for us to align our plans, our investing around God's will. Because in those two things, meaning our business, work, what we do with our hands, right, and what we earn with our income, I don't know that, you know, aside from a little bit of family drama, I don't know anything that it can be more influential for taking you away from God than your work and your money. And here we're learning that God values dependence and what that looks like for us on earth. We ought to humbly recognize God's providential control over all that happens in business. And we're reminded of that even when we obey him by giving back to him a portion of that which he's blessed us with, hence our giving. It's to level set us, to remind us of our need to depend on God. Why? Because he loves that. That's something he values. God values love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And love here is not merely just an emotion. Love here is an act evident of love manifested. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and understand why that's necessary to balance against this particular scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's interesting about this scripture is they miss that in Christ Jesus our Lord part. If you read this, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Most people want to stop there. There's an accountability on that prep phrase that follows. It defines what that engagement looks like to God. When God, when God made a provision for us by giving his only begotten Son to die for us, the act or the evidence of that love manifested in us comes through seeking him, believing in him. That love he has for us that we read about in John 3:16 is sandwiched between belief in verse 15 and following verse 17, 18, and 19. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God values love. Love that we can express toward one another. Love that he has for us. Love we give back to him by being humble, by being obedient, by being dependent upon him. We have that relationship with him that gives him what he values. So, having said that, now again, the only thing I will caution you is that I've just pulled out a few of those things which God values. You can, for example, read Galatians 5:22-26, realizing the fruit of the Spirit and understanding a whole lot more about those behaviors, those attitudes in us, those actions that we can do that God also values. But in this interest of time, let's look at what, now that we've set that foundation, that groundwork, let's look at what modifying motivation looks like for us. So, what is your reason for being? Now, I would say, and those of you who are familiar with me and my Bible study, Bible class, when I facilitate the Bible class, I have what is called a Bible classroom answer. So in your headspace, you went to Ecclesiastes, right? Some of you? Maybe? whole duty of man to love God and keep his commandments. And it's true. It's not a wrong answer there. In pursuit of that, you have other things you've got to do that needs to make sure and align itself with all that God values in order to have integrity in fulfilling that verse. You have to work. You have to feed your family. You have to put clothes on your backs. You have to have roof overhead. You have friends and family members that also are a resource for your motivation. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. You've got any number of friends. You've got your children. You've got your mother, your father, your spouse. All of those can be sources for what motivates you or what can unmotivate you, right? So when I ask this question, what is your reason for being? It's important for goal setting. It's important for establishing yourself. Further, you have to look at what motivates or drives your being. So if you have a goal of who you want to be, then you have to have kind of a micro processes in setting goals and achieving that. That it's happening every day in your life. If it's to be a loving husband, you can't go too many days without saying, honey, I love you. And make that make sense. Without showing some compassion, without setting out some time for your spouse and making them feel special, for example. So, what is your reason for being? And then what motivates or drives your being? Now, whatever your answers are to those questions, understand this, that whatever that answer is, it becomes your brand. It's your modus of operandi. It's how you show up. Your behaviors will find you out for what's important for you, for what drives you. It's not something that you can hide. When you care for somebody, you can't hide that. You're driven. You want to be around them. You want to talk to them. They know it. You can't hide that. And the same would happen with anything that drives you. You can't put a bottle on that. And so, since it's such an identifier for who you are as a person, it behooves you to make sure that it is also fulfilling what God values. It wouldn't matter. Well, it does, but it doesn't matter for the rest of the world outside of Christianity, those who are not trying to walk as Christians. But because we are, it behooves us to make sure and pursue those things that motivate us, those things that drive us, and make sure that that fulfills what God values, not just what we selfishly want. And that's where the trick is, right? We can get caught up with what we want and totally abandon what God wills for us. So, we have to make sure that if it's off, we need to get it back in line. If it happens that you are motivated, meaning you have a zeal for something that God doesn't value, behooves you to look at that again. Examine that. Study. And get it properly aligned under God's will and not your own. Under God's will and not your family. Under God's will and not your children. Because if we pursue our motivations outside of God's will in any of anything that we have that he has blessed us with, and that includes our family, we've put them before God. And that's a sure way, that's a sure way not to live the life that God has planned for you. Motivation is how you show up every day to both the outsiders, that meaning the world, and how you move about and have your being, how you show up at work, and to your brothers or future brothers and sisters in Christ. As I mentioned, is not easily hidden. Your behaviors will, in fact, find you out. Moreover, as the Creator, God knows and God cares about your being and what moves you, because he uses that to stir you up toward righteousness. He cares about the things you're interested in. He cares about your relationship with your family. He cares about your relationship at work, with your boss. He cares about that. Oh, but they're not a Christian. No, that's not how that works. If you're pursuing truth and what is right, if you're having you're pursuing humility, you're showing a dependence on God, you're showing a love for God, everything you do matters to him. Because you, or rather he, matters to you. And as long as there's continuity there, as long as that dynamic is shaking hands, interacting with God, he cares what you care about. Properly aligned motivations can make or break your relationship with God. If it's something that moves you, if it's something that encourages you, motivates you, stirs you up, influences you, you can best believe God is concerned about that. Because just like it could move or encourage you or give you a zeal toward righteousness, it can also give you a zeal towards darkness. So he is definitely concerned about that. So it's important for us to look at what we like, what we enjoy, what gets us going, what incentivizes us, stimulates us, what we enjoy, and say, is God pleased with that? Do I need to make any changes? Is that getting me closer to God or further away? And modify your motivation accordingly. I don't care if it's friends, if it's family, a hobby. A job. If it's pulling you away from God, making you unmotivated to put God first, you need to modify what motivates you. Because anything that motivates you away from God is not sustainable for you as he's created you. Whatever that is that's keeping you away from God is going to be to your detriment should you pursue it. God wants you to be properly aligned with what he values. That is the actual way that we put him first in our everyday. How are your motivations aligned then with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 6? Let's look at that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. How are your motivations aligned with this? How well aligned are your life's plans with God's desire for you to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth? If your answer to that is, I don't really know, well, you might need to make a modification on what motivates you. You should have an answer to that. Because to answer this question, how well aligned are your life's plans with your Creator, is an important question that you should be able to answer. And do you imagine that you could move and have your being in life without considering the objectives of the Creator? Because if you imagine that you can do that, there are a lot of people that imagine that they could do that. A lot of people not on this side of earth that imagine that they could do that. They were fearless. Real confident in themselves and their pursuit in life, but it was to their detriment. What sort of people ought we to be? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in the lives of holiness and godliness? Oh, that's a weighty scripture. That's heavy. And what that scripture is saying is, you know, you don't have much time left. None of us have much time left. No matter how invincible you feel and how confident you feel in today, there's not much time left. Our life is short. And we have to, in the little bit of time we have left, make sure that we have done something to please our Creator. There will be accountability to him after this life is over. What sort of people ought we to be? According to 2 Peter chapter 3, 8 through 11. If I'm reading that and I'm thinking about what motivates me, it's interesting. I'm just now remembering. I'm remembering Leah's comment when she said, well, hell, in a Bible class, hell was motivating, you know. Just the very idea of meeting God and not having an answer to the question as to how did your life that I gave you, how did you align that with what my values were or are? To be rendered speechless before the Creator, that's not a good look. We need to answer that question now. We need to think about everything that motivates us and say, am I pleasing God in my pursuits, in my goal setting, in my everyday? Strive to protect your motivations from the wiles of the devil. The problem with motivation is that Satan manipulates you with it because he knows that's what moves you. He knows that's what you like. He knows that's what excites you. So if we don't give that to God first, then Satan will use it to pull you away from him. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13 teaches us to be a living sacrifice, and in the interest of time, I won't read that. To have a genuine love toward one another and what that looks like. That's the beginning of a life that is an example of what would be pleasing to God. We can read through that and properly align our motivations. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. The importance there is to acknowledge the hand of God in all things. Whatever your plans are, whatever your goals are, whatever your hobbies are, can you do those things and be putting God first in the pursuit of that? God doesn't expect you only to just come to church on Sunday. That's it. He knows you have to work. He knows and wants you to have hobbies. The other things, the fillers, between now and Wednesday is a whole lot of living. You shouldn't have to abandon God's values in order to pursue it and be happy. God wants men, all men, to be saved. So consider your motivations and where needed, align them for your service to God. I hope this lesson was encouraging to you. I hope that I was able to help you see the importance of having motivations that are properly aligned with God's will, so that through them in your everyday, you can make sure that you are living a life that God is pleased with. I hope this lesson helped you to also understand the importance of your intent, your motive, the motive behind the things you do, and how that God examines that too. Now, we're mere mortals. We probably can't always see what you intend, what your intent is. Sometimes you have to articulate it and say, well, what I meant was, even when you messed up, you say, what I meant is, for you to feel this way when I did that. We don't always get that. We don't, that you can miss that with us humans, but God knows what your intent is. So take some time. Motivations and your motives, those things, they happen very fast. But slow down and understand why you're doing what you're doing, and is God pleased with that? Or should I make some changes so that I can have and get closer to God's will in my life? If there's anything that we can do that, if there's prayers of any kind that anyone is in need of, certainly encourage you to come forward and stand as we sing the song that's selected.